All that Katie Couric sampling is going to come from our audience.
They may ask us to introduce her.
Well done, CBS.
All right.
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. This is just weird is what this is, this whole schedule.
I'm all tired and thrown off.
My brain feels warpy. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
There are people right outside the window digging ditches 30 feet down. I'm sure they feel sorry for us.
Oh, you're talking about I didn't know what you were...
The ones that are shaking the building?
All this construction that's happening outside. All right. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin. We've also got the Storm Watch coming on. And the top five today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with you.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Our top stories today. Katrina observances give the president time to reflect on his anniversary of shame. Dick Clark is alive and well, making a rare public appearance. We'll hear what he had to say. And Barry Manilow goes in for hip surgery today. Elton John plans a hip-hop album. First.
Oh.
Who said
the Elton John thing?
That's
yeah.
Bad.
No, it really is.
It really is.
But
at least he's not having his hip replaced like Barry Manilow.
No, man, the long list of people who've had their hips replaced. Paul Stanley just had his hip replaced. Eddie Van Halen had his hip replaced. Mick Jagger's. We all hear that story over the weekend about Mick Jagger and the tank of oxygen. Stephanie Miller was talking about this morning, that it was revealed that Mick Jagger carries... There's two levels to the story, one of which is okay, the other which is deeply embarrassing. The first part of the story was that Mick Jagger, they revealed, keeps an oxygen tank backstage during his concerts. So you go to see the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, you know, does his, you know, and then he runs backstage and... Just so he can keep going, which I do not find fault with. I know that there are other stars who do the same thing. Meatloaf does that. Meatloaf, of course, is a larger man, but Meatloaf keeps oxygen backstage. I don't have a problem with that just because I know, because Mick Jagger is the guy. How old is he? He's like 60-something, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's 60. He's 16. He's running around stage and singing for 2.5 hours. That's fine. I don't begrudge that guy a little O2. But they also revealed in this story that Mick Jagger, I swear to God, he takes oxygen tanks to parties. So when he goes to, the phrase they used in the story was hilarious. I can't remember what it was, but it was something like, so he can make it through long partying sessions, he'll take an oxygen tank with him. And like at random moments during the night's partying, he'll just stop and...
He'll just wheel it around?
Just wheel it. Don't pay any attention to the... behind him, and then he'll just every so often you look over and there's Mick strapping on an oxygen mask during the party. So, which is, I mean, I guess I admire his devotion to the partying lifestyle, but it is kind of depressing. Oh yeah, Tim brought that in. That's where are the KOTK call letters now?
It's a whole bunch of old white men.
Is it Oklahoma?
Well, most talk radio is a bunch of old white men.
Let me see here.
Oh, it's Omaha.
Omaha. I almost took a job in Omaha. Somebody had asked. Was it you?
Omaha's where a lot of good music is.
The Omaha Sound.
That's where Saddle Creek Records is.
The Omaha Sound is huge. It's sweeping the country. Sarah had asked, because I had accidentally last hour said the KOTK Noon News Hour. And you know why that came? It's because we started the show. We've now added an extra hour. If you're just joining us today, you've missed...
There's a reason why the mono bed isn't playing.
No.
You've missed a whole 33% of it. No, I guess you've missed the extra 33, which is now 25. Whatever. The point is...
Some people used to think Omaha was part of Africa due to that Wild Kingdom program.
The program now starts at 11. We're now a four-hour show. We talked about this a little bit last week, but it's now a four-hour program. We go 11 to 3 every day. But I inadvertently said... I fell back onto some earlier bit of programming in my head, and I said KOTK New News Hour. We haven't been KOTK for years. And Sarah asked where the KOTK call letters had gone to, because we had been at 1080 KOTK... Then at 9:10, and I'm unclear about whether the call letters were
KLTH?
When we were, no, because KLTH is K-Hits or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we were at Max, were we still KOTK? Does anybody know?
Yes.
Okay, we were still KOTK. Mm-hmm. And then when Charlie came to 97.1, and then Max 9:10 became Kissin', although I think they call it, I don't think they call it Kissin' 910. I think they're back to calling it Kissin' 90 Wonderful. I was listening the other day, just out of perverse curiosity, and boy, look, and I don't say this.
How long
any...
do you think it's going to be before they flip it again?
Well, they probably...
It doesn't matter.
Who will notice?
Who would notice?
I mean, look, I'm...
They
can
change the format to dusting or something.
Change the format to mime. Look, and I don't mean to sound like this is bitterness or sour grapes. It's really not. I'm just saying, I mean, I listened the other day, and I know that this is the news hour, and we were once again, this has not cured the problem, because now we are 5 minutes into the news hour.
Now we're going to have to start at 10 from now on.
We're just never going to be able to go off the air again. We should be off 24 hours a day. But I tuned in to Kissin' the other day.
How was it?
Here's why I did it, by the way. Because I was driving home.
The lively DJs?
I was...
The local content? The community involvement? Which is it?
It's their deep music catalog.
The deep mixes.
It's their massive 200-song library.
Hang on, Sloopy, unplug.
No, it's because I was, on Friday, I was, need Mick Jagger's oxygen tank.
That's the Katrina cough.
I was driving home on Friday, and I was driving home at a different time than I normally do. I get out of here around 6:30 or whatever, and I was driving home at like 3:30, and I thought, you know what, I'll see what's on this kooky radio dial during this day part, because during the day, I just have Lycus on. And so I'm flipping around the dial and all the presets, and 910 is still a preset in my car, just, you know, it's a holdover from, you know, whenever, the years ago when we were on there. And so I'm flipping around the dial, and I'm listening to whatever, the Air America and this, and I'm just, you know, seeing whatever, everything that's on everywhere. And then I put on 910, and it's like, and I know that their whole ad campaign is that, like, you know, hear the songs the way they were meant to be heard, in lovely monaural sound, you know, and it's, and, but it's like, you really nailed it, too. It's like if dust had a sound. It would be Kissin'. And I don't say that out of animosity. I really don't. It's just, boy, it's just like visiting just an old sick relative listening to that station, you know?
Like visiting Dick Clark.
So 85 years of age, and you're looking on the dresser, and there's a picture of them when they were 30 and vibrant. And then you look over the bed, and it's just nothing but one
big
liver spot.
Stretched out wrinkle.
That's what that station sounds like.
Many times over.
And the DJs just sound... like, so sad. The DJs on Kissin' just are like, hello, I'm talking in my big radio voice. Boy, do I feel marginalized by being put on this frequency in this band. No one is listening to me. I wish I was dead. It's so depressing. And, but they come out of all the stop sets, and they come up with, 90 Wonderful Kissin'. That doesn't even make any sense to the average, unless you see it written down on a piece of paper. Identifying Kissin' as 90 Wonderful, it just sounds like gibberish. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Anyway, and so they were, God, what were they, what was the bit they were doing? God, it was something. It wasn't my three songs, but it was like right
name
up there.
Name the fifth Beatle?
It wasn't that. Oh, it was a bit called Cartoons, which is where people call and request songs from their cars.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Is it live?
Well, as much as anything on that station.
Well, the first time it might have
really been live. It was live whenever they taped it and put it into the voice tracking system. It was live earlier that morning when a guy from Tucson taped it. But they were Cartoons, and he's and it's so easy now. Look, here's the thing. This program may be a little unpolished. This station.
Just a little.
We may play a little fast and loose with the rules here. We may be like the you know what this whole station is? This whole station is like the edgy, aggressive young ruffian in all the buddy cop films. The one who doesn't have time for procedure and can only solve the crime after we've been kicked off the case by the chief. That's kind of what this station is. And this station does not have we don't have flawless execution of everything all the time. Our formatics sometimes leave a little bit to be desired. But you know what? Here's the thing. When we hear a caller on this show or on this station, even, you know, like us or anything like that, you know what? It's very clear that the call is live. I mean, that we're taking the call, we're interacting with the call on the fly. We have long since passed the point when any call on any music radio station is live. Ever, ever, ever. When you hear on a music radio station, they go, let's see who's on the phone lines, and then they play the caller. That's something he taped like half an hour ago and edited down on a computer system, and it's playing back. And maybe it's just because I'm in radio. Maybe it's just like an average person wouldn't spot this. But it's so obvious to me when they transition from the live introduction of the call to the pre-recorded call segment. I don't know whether it's I'm hearing a difference in the audio or whether it's a little bit of lag time or the timing is different or whatever. But anyway, so they're doing this cartoons segment on Kissin' on Friday. Cartoons, let's go to the phones. Who's this? And then there's like a little pause where he hits the play button on the, and it's, this is Janice. Janice, where are you today? I'm on the Hawthorne Bridge. And they go back and forth. And it's just a whole lot of that stupid DJ patter where it's like, you know, and he says like, he says, you know, who's this?
Janice.
Janet?
Oh, it's Janice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, there's no excuse for you.
Oh, do I know it?
You said a mouthful.
Did I ever? And it's just like a whole bunch of crap non sequiturs back and forth for like 45 seconds. And then she requests, because you just don't hear the song enough, she requests Downtown. We all need to hear Downtown a little bit more. Because it's been like 8 minutes since somebody played that song.
It's because she's driving toward Downtown.
Oh, God. It was really, it was like listening. If death had a sound, it was just like, it was, you've heard of the stink of death. If the stink of death gave off noise, it would be Kissin'. So, no offense. Anywho, here we are. So they became Kissin'. And then the KOTK call letters, which is where we started this little deviation about 10 minutes ago.
It's my fault for copying that.
It really is. Well, Sarah had asked where the KOTK call letters were.
So there's your answer.
So
they're in Omaha, the end.
So Charlie came to 97.1. Max 910 became 90 Wonderful Kissin'. And then KOTK went to Omaha.
The city of music.
Omaha, Nebraska. News Talk, 1420 AM, KOTK, where they have such groundbreaking programs.
It's way down the other end of the dial where nobody listens.
Oh, God. I'm looking at the lineup here. Mike Gallagher.
Between the Spanish and the Iranian stations.
Bill Bennett, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Michael Medved, Michael Reagan. Oh, God damn.
All the leftover stuff nobody else wants.
See, that's exactly what this is. And you know right away this isn't a Clear Channel station. Because all they've got left here
took those honored call letters and just trashed them.
Seriously, this is a station that
mediocrity.
This is a station that,
place of honor,
that clearly wanted to get like Dr. Laura or Rush Limbaugh, but they were not able to. Mm-hmm. Because Clear Channel just kept all that for themselves. It's like, well, like, crap. Do you have Michael Reagan? Fine. Jesus. What else do you... Michael Medved. All right, well, it'll keep the needle moving. That's clearly what it is. So there you go. So KOTK, if you were curious, it's always a little strange, actually, to see... Now, I know this sounds cheesy, but it is a little bit like seeing a picture of, hearing about, reading up about an ex. When you see call letters you used to work at that have vanished and turned up in another market, different format, whatever. That's happened to me several times, actually, where a station I will work at, I'll leave. Years later, I see the call letters in another state, another format. You know, it's a little weird, actually. You feel kind of strange because you feel a little bit of ownership there because we were on KOTK for so long. And it's so weird to see KOTK, see those call letters being abused, to see the KOTK call letters just being diminished by the station with Michael Reagan and Bill Gallagher or Mike Gallagher.
Someplace it really doesn't matter.
In Omaha, where I almost took a job. And we come full circle. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, nearly 1 year after Hurricane Katrina created a humanitarian political disaster, the president said the storm showed the government was unprepared to respond to a disaster that magnitude and revealed deep-seated poverty in America. Political fallout from the hurricane killed more than 1,000 people, displaced tens of thousands, was severe for Bush last year, sending his public opinion ratings to new lows. And, of course, everyone's showing that picture of him looking out the plane today that was taken a year ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where he's flying over, like, what's with all the water? Do they have that great shot of him while New Orleans is being destroyed? He's at a place, like, strumming a guitar and eating cake.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And full
and
on,
then
like,
there's the other picture of him standing in front of that old building that's
Nero style. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Ray Nagin apologized for saying, you guys in New York can't get a hole in the ground fixed in its 5 years, so let's be fair. Now he admits he could have chosen his words a bit more carefully.
The context of that discussion was about why is it taking so long for New Orleans to get back up to speed, and I was mainly using the comparison of the site, and I should have probably called it an undeveloped site as of yet.
No, he was right about that, though, and he could have chosen a more tactful way to put it, I suppose. But again, as I noted on
Ray Nagin,
as I noted, yeah, really, he's not, his tact is not his strong suit. As I noted on Friday, I mean, the horrible tragedy, all of that. The World Trade Center is like 25 square blocks.
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans, is huge. It's huge, and they took 300 years to build it. Mm-hmm. So the idea that they can't fix it all in a year, Anyway, it was not, what he said was accurate, if a little blunt. So,
all right. Well, here's a very strange story that nobody was talking about until somebody apparently put it in. This talks about the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq in a couple of months, which nobody has brought up. And all of a sudden, the story says, a withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq in a couple of months would be premature. So where did the story come from in the first place? That's the word from Army Brigadier General Dana Fitzcarr telling reporters in Baghdad.
Now, U.S. forces will be here as long as the Iraqi government wants us here.
What is this in response to?
It says, the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq in a couple of months would be premature, like that was going to happen.
Yeah, like we were all banking on it. I was assuming it was going to happen.
So
we were going to wake up and it was all going to be gone.
This is very strange that this story has been placed in the media, and we've never heard it before.
Yeah.
That anybody even had a plan to withdraw troops in a couple of months.
I have no idea.
So I smell a rat.
All right.
Meanwhile, Senator Carl Levin says it's the Iraqis who must decide. You want a civil war or a nation? He said the U.S. has taken pressure off the Iraqis to meet deadlines for a stable government.
By the president saying we're there as long as they need us. By the president saying as long as he's president, we're not going to remove troops. By the president refusing to put some pressure to prod the Iraqis to take charge of their own country.
And for all you kissing listeners, Dick Clark, America's oldest teenager, made a jovial appearance during a special Emmy Award tribute last night.
Uh-huh.
He talks about his life as best he can.
Is this soundbite going to be awkward to listen to?
I haven't heard it yet. It's a surprise to me, too.
Who wants, do we want to take bets right now? Do we think that the evidence of the stroke will be audible?
I think so, but we do have Barry Manilow right after him, so.
Just to wash the taste of Dick Clark away.
Yes.
All right. So this is, he's saying what?
He's talking about his life. At the Emmy Awards last night.
Oh.
And it's a long soundbite. It's 30 seconds long.
It is.
Do it.
All right.
Before I had my stroke.
Oh.
I don't want to listen to this.
Oh, that's unpleasant. All right. Gotta buckle down. Well, he's had a good life.
Okay.
I say, writing his obituary.
He is America's oldest teenager. He is 76.
Do not make a stroke joke, Rick. I thought you were going to do the Silence of the Lambs, like talking.
No,
like Dick Clark.
No, I wasn't going to do that at all. No, I was going to do another joke, but I won't do that one either now. Okay,
would you like to proceed?
Let's all strap ourselves in here for this 27 second.
Mm-hmm.
Look, let me ask you this.
I want to do something special for the premiere of the new show.
It's not just that he's speaking more slowly. Mm-hmm. If you worked for the for Metro Networks, who they gather all this news sound, mm-hmm. Wouldn't you give Dick Clark like a yes or no question? If you were a reporter at this point, wouldn't you give him a softball? You know what I mean? Dick, are you happy to be here tonight? A yes or no will suffice. Yes. Great. Thanks, Dick. Gotta go. Why would you ask him some open-ended, Dick, please share your thoughts on music. Knowing that it's going to be a lot of, and just sort of, so I'm not trying to poke fun. I guess I am a little bit.
And Simon Cowell showed clips of Clark's TV career.
Oh, that's exactly what you want to if you're Dick Clark.
Mm-hmm.
It's sit there, be reminded of before the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
This is
he looked the same for many, many years.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let's buckle down here for this 27-second soundbite of Dick Clark attempting to speak. Mm-hmm. And roll the ugliness.
Before I had my stroke, I was thinking about all of the things I had become involved with over my life.
Oh, this is just horrible.
And then I realized that...
Okay, maybe we should.
I had accomplished my childhood dream.
Good God, it doesn't even sound like...
Please
I'm
playing it.
No, we're done.
Okay.
It doesn't even sound like him. It's not like... I know he's had a stroke, but sometimes people have strokes. It sounds like them, but they've just got like a little bit of impediment. Right. Here's a perfect example.
Well, I mean, he's not going to introduce Chubby Checker at this point in his life.
Here's a perfect example. In Sports Night, now you have not seen Sports Night, but dude, I don't
channel that on.
It's not. It's a program. It was a fan. It was Aaron Sorkin's program before The West Wing.
Oh, okay.
And I keep telling Sarah she's going to watch it, but I know this might count as a spoiler because you haven't seen it. But the show's been off the air for 6 years. So there, Robert Guillaume, who many people remember as Benson from the TV show of the same name, Robert Guillaume, who plays Isaac Jaffe, the managing editor of Sports Night, is sort of he's the sort of Mark Whalen of Sports Night. His character has a stroke on the show because Robert Guillaume himself had a stroke in real life, and it's kind of cool actually. ABC told Sorkin to kick him off the show, and Sorkin told them to get stuffed, and brought him back, and so he. When Robert Guillaume had a stroke, Sorkin just wrote it into the show. And so they brought the character back, and the character had a stroke as well. And so he was able to kind of continue. Anyway, but he still sounded very much like Robert Guillaume. He just had kind of a hitch when he talked, and it was just sort of slowed down a little bit.
Oh, it's like Jesse Jackson. Have you seen him? He looks like he has horse teeth that are falling out of his mouth.
And he's got Jerry Lewis head going on. You know what I mean? His head has just become huge and round. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always... Jesse Jackson has always been a little flabby, but he's got that Percocet bloat or whatever it is going on, or the steroid bloat. But this doesn't even sound like Dick Clark. I mean, it really sounds like someone else altogether. Well, there you go.
Well, let's talk to Barry Manilow.
Let's move along to hip replacement.
Who's in bad shape himself?
Jesus. Everybody's falling apart.
In a certain age group, yes. Who performed the American Bandstand theme during the Clark tribute, giving a nod to his old friend when he won the Outstanding Individual Performance in a Variety or Musical Award.
He was a sweet...
That's right.
Supportive.
Okay, this is not Barry Manilow.
What is it?
Unless he's just embraced the inevitable.
Well, we'll go back and find that again.
Well, no. I can... Let me find it here. Well, I can find it on the fly. What is...
It's Emmy's Barry Manilow 1.
Emmy's Barry... Okay, let me see.
So far, things went... Really well in this first day.
No, it's fine. I feel... Yeah, Manilow 1. Here it is. Mm-hmm. All right. This is... pleased to be setting up the clip again. This is what?
He performed the American Bandstand theme during the Dick Clark tribute, giving nod to his old friend when he won the Outstanding Individual Performance at a Variety or Musical Award.
Well, we've been hanging around together. I mean, on the phone. We have had dinner together. But, you know, when you get... Once one of those things hit...
I'm shooting Dick's food for him.
And he's a real trooper. He'd much rather be up there producing this thing than sitting there. And I think he was a real trooper.
Dick Clark has had a stroke. It's his excuse. Barry Manilow is 100 years old. He's 100. You see him. Barry Manilow is one of those people, and there are probably some others that come to mind. I'm thinking Lonnie Anderson, who, do you remember some of those celebrities where they simultaneously look very old and very young all at once? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where they and it's weird. It's sort of like one of those paintings where if you look at it, it's a candlestick, and then you look again, and it's two women kissing. You know what I mean? It's just one of those weird, depending on... And there are some celebrities that you look at them, and they look unnaturally young, and then you look back, and God, they're old. Like, at the same time, Barry Manilow is one of those people, and I think I've told Tim this. I have Barry's autobiography, which is great, by the way. It is called Sweet Life, Adventures on the Way to Paradise by Barry Manilow. And it is his autobiography, which is fantastic, and which I say unironically, I do mean this now. I'm a Barry Manilow fan. I don't celebrate the guy's entire catalog, but large sections of it. The funny thing is, you read his autobiography, and at no point anywhere in there does he reveal when he was born. He doesn't give any.
It says here he's 60.
Maybe.
Was he born? Where does he come from?
Where is
he going?
Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you want to do with your life?
What kind of a name is that?
A fake one. That's what that is. Barry Manilow is a fake name. His real name is... God, what the hell is his name? I used to know.
Malinsky?
It is. It's, yep.
It's
something like that.
It is a Jewish name, which he then dropped. But yeah, you read his autobiography, and I remember actually looking through, like, did I miss it? When was he born? And not only does he never give the year that he was born, he gives no anecdotal evidence, and that section, like his early life, is very deliberately presented without any kind of historical context, so that he can't be pinned down to a specific year. So he can just shave years with impunity, and he's never said anything that will allow you to prove him wrong. So, well done. All right, we should break here.
We didn't finish the Barry Manilow story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's finish the Barry Manilow story.
Well, due to many years of dancing to Mandy, he now has painful cartilage tears in both hips. Therefore, he goes under the knife today to get brand new hips put in. His recovery and rehabilitation expected to take 8 weeks. Then he'll be back on stage.
Do we have another cut?
Oh.
I mean, the songs of the 50s, this Bandstand Boogie, I've always believed in my stuff, no matter how much the critics have put me down. But, you know, I like Weekend in New England, and so do a lot of the public. And it just goes to show you that if
you can just hear the pouty pursing of his lips, can't you?
You get one of these.
Okay. All right, there we go.
Well, okay.
Let's finish that. Okay, we'll come back. Clyde Lewis coming up later on. News at Ground Zero. What else? We have Gary Baumgarten of the way. Stormwatch! Peter Carlin, all of that's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Cheap Trick on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian, and Storm Watch. Back to the City Desk with Tim Riley in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program good friend, the original hairy, scary guy from ClydeLewis.com, Ground Zero's Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
How are you feeling today? You sound like you're a little scratchy.
I was a little raspy last week. Friday, my voice was kind of giving up, but I 2 days of just sitting around doing a whole lot of nothing, so it's okay.
I'm kind of feeling that coming on, too. I don't know what's in the air, but it seems like everybody's feeling a little lightheaded, a little out of it.
But there's a bad hay fever thing going on. Sarah and I were talking about that. It's a bad hay fever, sort of an allergy thing in the air, so that's kind of coupled with the sinus thing that I got. It's a bad scene.
Yeah, I hope I don't get any worse because it's getting to the point where I'm just getting cranky and kind of like I want to just, yeah, it's horrible.
You don't want to know. It's all about impaction and dripping.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's just bad. What's up with you? What's up with you, brother?
I was just looking over some news items before I came on here about, did you hear what the latest church to storm Hollywood is? The Church of the Subgenius.
Oh, right, yeah, the Bob Dobbs people. Yeah, I saw a thing about
I just
that.
You know, it's funny, whenever anything, like when you talk with Tom Cruise or when you're talking about anybody else like Kabbalah or Mel Gibson, it seems that Stang is always busy writing out press releases that say, the Church of the Subgenius, the best cult ever.
Did you see that that Matt Stone and Trey Parker did a great interview the other day where they were taking credit for the downfall of Tom Cruise? It was fantastic. We would like not to bask in the public adulation for our part in destroying Tom Cruise's career. Thank us now.
That's so funny. You know, and what's really odd about this whole thing is that there's this whole, I guess you could say, air that's floating around about brainwashing and cultism and all this stuff, especially with people like Tom Cruise and you know, people like John Carr, who is obviously some...
You know what John Carr looks like? John Carr looks like either an alien or some guy who would belong to an alien cult. He really doesn't look like a human. He does look like he came from some other place.
Well, and I just recently did some research. In fact, last week at Ground Zero Lounge, I was up on stage throwing out, you know how I throw macaroni at the wall hoping it sticks? And all this strange stuff, all these strange things that I was, like, coming up with that I was matching with John Mark Carr, including matches to Charles Manson and to David Berkowitz, Son of Sam, and all these other things. I was just throwing them out there. They didn't have any fluidity. Well, what's really strange is that after I did more research on this guy, he is really a weird, weird guy. I mean, he's got background
Jean-Marc Carr?
Yeah.
How was it you were not convinced of that before? What was the X factor before?
Did you guys report the story about how his mother tried to set fire to him? When
We
took him to death, too.
Yeah. The best part was how when he was having dinner with that, he was living wherever it was. He was living in South America or Peru or Venezuela or something. And he's having dinner with that that family. And in the space of one dinner, he makes the following two observations. A, adult women are too old for me. I like really young girls. Followed by, I am a panther sexually. No, I'm sorry, not a panther, a wolf.
A wolf.
I am a wolf, sexually speaking.
You know, and there's just so many things that, I don't know, that I was kind of digging up there. And the one thing that I really found interesting, and this is back, remember the sniper case back in Washington Beltway where they were reading that strange stuff? That moose guy was reading that strange stuff, and I called it the trigger phrase to get them to
wake
up out of their sleep, like in The Manchurian Candidate. Well, take a look at that SBTC acronym where it talks about "Shall Be the Conqueror," and they read that on the news, and he goes, "Wait a minute, I killed JonBenet," and what that is that it's taken out of the Book of Judges. It's a scary little scripture about destroying the tower, and the way they destroy the tower is they burn it, and it's just a lot of creepy stuff. And so tonight at the lounge, I managed to get together and get a lot of visual stuff. I'm going to be showing people about Carr and how he rolls his eyes when he's doing his confession, the way he moves his eyes like left and right, which means that he's doing recall and making stuff up at the same time.
He just screams like Glenn or Glenda, though. I mean, he really does. Because I think we read somewhere that he applied for sex change surgery or...
In Thailand, yeah. He did.
That's where you want to get it done, too. You want to get that... Look, there's a lot of surgery you can get done cut rate. Having your junk removed doesn't seem like one of those things, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, not in Thailand. No way.
I don't think so.
No. So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and find some fluidity to all of it. I put together like a 25-minute special that I ran last night on the Internet that basically creeped people out. But it's just so true that this guy has got to be, he's got to be a sleeper of some kind where they call him on the telephone and they go, Jean-Marc Carr, I'm the voice of God, John. Go do something, John. You know, kind of like the Manchurian Candidate, kind of the... And plus, I know that you don't believe in reverse speech, but I know Sarah has done some reversals before, and I...
That was a while ago.
This is the thing where you tape somebody and then you do the...
Yeah,
share what I have in backward masking crap.
The one that found the Pope saying the end is near. That was the thing that was one of her best.
That was you, Rick. Don't even pretend like you don't remember that.
I don't.
You don't remember listening to the Pope backwards and he kept saying the end is near?
Yeah, he did. He kept saying it backwards.
I remember Rick agreeing, don't you, Clyde?
Yeah, he agreed.
He's making stuff up now.
No, he was like going, and then we played it backwards and it was, the end is near. It was like he sounded better backwards than he did forward.
I cannot believe you don't remember this.
That's it. I'm a believer.
Okay, well, nobody's trying to convince you of anything. But anyway, I've got him saying backwards that he's on mushrooms and that he's a member, he's a part of the CIA. Actually, I really do. Okay. And I'm going to be playing that tonight.
Clyde, you just totally took away my credibility.
What do you mean? How did I take away your credibility?
Sarah's a believer.
I believe that the Pope said the end is near, but I don't believe that he's saying I'm on mushrooms.
Well, no, not the Pope, Jean-Marc Carr.
Oh, okay.
I got Jean-Marc Carr saying that he's on mushrooms backwards, and I got him saying that he's a member of the CIA, that he worked with the CIA.
I'll leave the room for a while. I'll be back.
No,
you can just talk amongst yourselves.
Stop it.
No, I mean, it's an interesting aside. It's not like I'm trying to get anybody to believe it. It's just that David John Oates believes that if you play stuff backwards that people say, it's what they're really thinking or what's hidden beneath them. And so it's kind of a weird thing, but it's kind of weird when you play O.J. backwards and he says that he killed his wife and he said that he murdered them all, and it's just creepy the way you can just play that stuff backwards and hear what they have to say.
Because I wasn't convinced.
Well, I mean...
That seals it.
It's kind of a coinkydink, but it's still kind of...
Oh, don't say that. I swear to God, the next person who says coinkydink, I'm going to cut their head off.
Is that the new thing?
No, it's not the new thing. It's a thing that...
Let's make it the new thing.
I thought we all stopped saying that third...
It's a coinkydink for
No, seriously, we were talking about Sports Night. I was watching Sports Night, and there's a character on Sports Night who uses that at one point. He goes, isn't this a coinkydink? And I swear to God, it makes me want to set him on fire.
I could totally hear Andy Dick saying that.
Totally. Oh, man, did you watch the Shatner roast?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it.
Dude, the Shatner roast was it wasn't one of the better roasts overall. It had some moments of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments of, first of all, George Takei was...
Don't call me Sulu.
Seriously, don't call me Sulu, but do make all kinds of references, you know, to, I mean, it was just every...
Was he making Gaijin remarks?
What? Gaijin? Every... That's hilarious. No, every other comment, it was some, you know, it was something about Spock and Kirk getting it on, or Sulu and Shatner getting it on. It was all very uncomfortable. And then Andy Dick was there. I don't know if you read about this. Andy Dick, and I swear to God, I know this sounds like a setup for a bad pun, which I will not make on the air, but Andy Dick went on a licking spree.
Oh, my God.
And so I was talking to Sarah about this. I don't know if you watch it on Comedy Central. You can see this. They added a lot of that stuff down for time and content. But don't say it. But you're not.
The obvious joke?
You're not going to make the obvious joke. You're not going to make the obvious joke.
He was...
No.
I can't?
No.
Oh, damn.
I'm telling you right now, you can't.
Sarah, you know what I'm going to say, right?
But it's the same joke everybody's been making. I know exactly where the joke is. It's the same joke everybody's made.
Oh, is it really?
But during the roast, though, you know, I was telling Sarah this. During the rhythm in the roast is about William Shatner. You're there. I mean, it sounds, you know, dumb and everything, but you're there to sort of pay tribute to whoever's being roasted in a weird way. And so it's Shatner, and it's either Shatner or it's the person at the podium who is taking their 5 minutes. That's that person is supposed to be the focus of attention. Well, somebody apparently didn't tell Andy Dick, or he just felt like he wasn't having enough attention paid to him, because at random moments throughout the night, and I'm actually making it sound funnier and more entertaining than it was, but at random moments throughout the night, Andy Dick would just get up from, he was kind of sort of up on the dais, and he would just get up and walk over to people who were in attendance and just give them, and I'm talking about the long, lingering lick up the side of the face, not unlike that guy gives Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
God, aren't you glad that Orson Welles isn't still alive? He used to go to those roasts all the time.
That's what I want to see, is Andy Dick, you know, just giving Orson Welles a long, slathering lick up the side of the face.
And, Tom DeLuise.
Talk about a guy whose fluid you don't want anywhere near you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like being licked by the Toxic Avenger. It really is. And I mean, it's so uncomfortable and disturbing to watch. And he licks Carrie Fisher at one point.
Oh.
She's down to the front row. Goddamn, poor Carrie Fisher's just there to watch the roast. She's not participating. She's just there to hang out and drink and laugh. Suddenly, I mean, imagine you're sitting there. You're at the roast. You're having a couple cocktails, sitting there with your girlfriend, your husband, your whatever. Just sitting there enjoying it. I mean, that's a thing that you would never anticipate. Never in your wildest imaginings.
A crazed Andy Dick.
Yeah, would you? At no point, as you were at home preparing, picking out what pearls to go with what dress, what tie.
Where's my lobster bib?
Yeah, what tie to go with what socks. At no point, were you finding a babysitter for your children? At no point do you think that the evening is going to end with Andy Dick, a crazed Andy Dick, charging at you across the floor, grabbing your face, and then licking up and down the side of your cheek.
My God.
It really is horrifying to watch.
That is horrifying to think about.
So, just word to the wise, if you watch the Shatner roast, you're gonna see things that a man should not see.
I have one question before I go.
Yes.
Is Pluto a planet?
I don't care. I don't care. I don't. It's one less thing that
there's
children...
somebody spots up there. How would you know?
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's for me. Fine, take it off the list. It's one less pointless fact that children have to learn.
Well, it's just another point I want to make about the moon landing. That, you know, they say whether or not we landed on the moon. They say whether or not Pluto's a planet. Who's they? Who are they? I mean, come on. I mean, you know,
are they the people? Are they the government?
Are they the government? Are they the people? I mean, who are these guys that vote Pluto off the island?
Is it you?
It's not funny. I mean, it's like, you know. And the obvious joke is, of course, Goofy and Mickey Mouse are pissed. But anyway,
who busted Shabaya?
But no, I was thinking about this the other day. Why the hell? I mean, Pluto's a planet. It is. It's always been a planet. It used to be called Lex, and then they changed it to Pluto. And now it's like it's not even a planet anymore. Why? Because it's too small?
You're going to be like one of those Grandpa Simpson types who, you know, his flag only has 49 stars. I'm not going to recognize Missouri.
Are we judging things by their size now?
I mean, things are being downsized everywhere.
You're just leading into a Yoda joke.
I'm just saying. It's just kind of like, it's just kind of like one of those things where it's just been bugging me all this time that Pluto is a planet. Pluto has been designated not a planet. Who decides this?
I think you need to reassess your priorities in terms of what irritates you.
I got to be irritated about something. You know, things are okay, but I'm just saying that, okay. You know. Things are great, though. I mean, it's just Pluto. It's just been bothering me.
You're going to be the whore, you're going to be at Dante's tonight?
I'll be at Dante's tonight, speaking up a storm. It's going to be interesting because we're going to be seeing a lot of visual stuff tonight, hopefully, if we can get the computer to work. And, you know, I'm going to be ranting and raving and talking about how they don't even need terrorists anymore. They just need to say there's a terrorist attack, and everybody goes, oh, my God. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, power of suggestion, power of brainwashing, power of everything. And people are beginning to buy into all the crap that's being fed to them, and I'm just fed up with it.
All right, then.
They're not beginning to.
They've always done it.
Some time.
All right, Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, see him that at Dante's. Find out more at ClydeLewis.com. Thank you, sir.
Good night.
All right, there you go. Clyde Lewis. There you go. It's 503-733-2. 970. You know, at certain points, I feel like I don't even need to be here when Clyde is on. I feel like I should just leave the room. Like when it starts on a backward speech thing. That's what makes Clyde, and I love Clyde. You all know that. I can say this about Clyde because I love him. Clyde is like, you know, the Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and I hate to go to an ice cream analogy for Clyde, but what are you going to do? You get an ice cream, and it's studded with stuff, you know, like bits of cookie dough or bits of whatever, chocolate or the pretzel or whatever. Clyde is sort of the reverse of that. Clyde is sort of a really great ice cream that's studded with just like things out of the trash. It's just like studded with like coffee grounds and bits of old shoe. And so, you know what I mean?
I don't understand where you're going.
My point is that Clyde will come on.
Clyde is like something out of a dumpster. Like an old shoe or coffee grounds.
That's Tim Riley who said that.
No,
I think he was reiterating what you're saying.
I'm saying that Clyde comes on and he has a lot of great observations. He's funny. He says a lot of unconventional things. But then he'll throw out something.
I believe his backward talking stuff.
Sure you do.
Rick, it's really interesting.
There's a lot of things that are really interesting that you don't have to believe. I believe that Clyde hears something
in the backwards talk. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's there.
It doesn't mean that it's there.
I believe that Clyde believes it.
Well, okay, yeah. But those are two...
That's my political answer.
Those are two drastically different things. All I'm saying
is... Just believe in Clyde. He's your buddy.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying that Clyde comes
you
on and it's
like... You have to believe.
It's like... He just... It's like a one in four for that guy. It's like... Great, compelling idea. Great idea. Great idea. Crazy talk. Great idea. Great idea. Great idea. Insane idea. Great idea. Great idea. Paranoid delusion. Great idea. Great idea. You know what I mean? And so, some days the ratio is a little skewed. That's all. That's the only point I'm making. I do love Clyde, though. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, listen to this. Barry Manilow, who sang as part of his tribute to Dick Clark, walked over to Clark after the show went to commercial.
Is it last hour already?
Yeah, but this is even worse.
Okay.
Clark broke down and cried on his shoulder. Then stagehands wheeled the entire podium with Clark on it off the stage.
Oh my God, that's like some Futurama crap right there.
Was it his head on top of a box
God.
That just beeped?
Look at the box that he's in. It's a Futurama glass case.
But look at the.
How are you, Dick Clark?
Doesn't Barry Manilow look like Harpo Marx now?
Where is? Oh my God, you're right.
He looks like Harpo Marx.
And Dick Clark looks like a waxwork.
He does.
What's the caption on the top? There was so much what?
Dick Clark, there was much laughter and some tears. We'll talk to Jim Rube about this.
And then he was wheeled off the stage.
Jesus. Dick Clark left with singer Barry Manilow was given a special tribute. Clark, who is recovering from a stroke. Okay. He's not recovering from anything. Dick Clark had a stroke and will be talking that way for the rest of his life.
2 years ago?
We were on Max when it happened, weren't we?
Yeah.
So that's over a year ago. It was like 18 months ago. Yeah, there's no recovering of any kind happening there.
Maybe he's not trying hard enough.
You should call him and give him a very stern lecture. You don't want it! No pain, no gain. You're not giving 110%, Dick. Cried. Well, have Andy Dick come over and lick you if you don't get your crap together. Cried on. That should be the punishment for all celebrities now. Mel Gibson, hold him down. He gets a good licking from Andy Dick. Cried on Manilow's shoulders. The show went to commercial. And did you say? I swear to God, you were right.
Yeah, I didn't make that up.
The stagehand then wheeled the entire podium with Clark on it.
Uh huh.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Back into story.
What is he like? Duct tape to it? Is that like?
It looks like a little cage thing.
No, that's Bob Newhart. That's a separate thing where Bob Newhart is in a
Bob
tube.
Bob Newhart is very healthy.
Bob Newhart is in some
Why
kind of...
Why is he in a tube?
He's in some kind of a huge tube.
I don't want you show it, and neither did anyone else. Nobody wants you.
No, it's Bob Newhart. Jim Roop will tell us about it.
You're right.
Bob Newhart is in what appears to be a giant version of one of those vacuum tubes you use at the bank. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Is it, it's like that rumor that you always heard about Jim Morrison, which I think is just a rumor, but they always had these rumors that Jim Morrison was so drunk and so out of it that they would actually, the stagehands would actually, they would actually sort of put like sticky like tape on the microphones so that when Jim Morrison would hold onto the microphone, he couldn't drop it or it couldn't fall out of his hand, he wouldn't fall over or whatever. It's like Lane Staley. Like I swear to God, they had Lane Staley duct taped to the microphone when I saw him so he wouldn't just keel over on stage.
That's a good idea.
So Dick Clark was just built into the podium so they could just wheel it off all
and
at once.
And he'll be brought back up on New Year's Eve.
That's so sad.
He's doing better.
And then here's, God, Tears of an Angel. Charlie's, see, I didn't watch the Emmys at all last night, so when we talked to Jim Rue.
We have Charlie's Angels tributes coming up, too.
Do that show.
That's a little tease.
Okay. Jim Roop and Peter Carlin are both going to talk about this. Did anybody here watch the Emmys?
No, nobody cares about the Emmys.
You know, I'm glad I didn't. I would have been really sad to see him cry, weeping openly on Barry Manilow's shoulder.
But you're really right.
No, that was during the commercial break.
You're really right when you say it's a Futurama moment, though, mm-hmm. where there's just that guy, Snuffy. I'm Snuffy. I'm Snuffy the janitor. And there's just like a lot of... As they're wheeling out the podium with Dick Clark, literally
well,
like
it has
fastened
to, be Dick Clark
to it,
and Barry Manilow. You think it wheeled them both away because he was crying on his shoulder?
Probably because Barry does have bad hips. He probably couldn't walk out under his own power.
They're both tied to the podium. That's sort of like
well, maybe they dropped off Dick Clark and continued to wheel Barry over to Caesar Sinai.
Somebody has to have that on YouTube.
It's sort of it's like in the Iliad when the guy's just lashed to the wheel of the boat.
Speaking I just see them embracing, rolling off to the side of the stage. Oh.
It's exactly like the Iliad. Exactly like that. That's so great. Just somebody backstage just stapling them to the podium. Don't move. Oh, God, that's gold. But, you know, it is very telling. I worry about this show
don't
sometimes.
Don't worry about it.
No, I don't worry about them. I worry about this show
don't
sometimes.
Don't worry about us either.
And no, not for the reasons you might think. To say that I worry about this show is sort of... That's not the right way to put it. I do...
You worry about its direction?
No.
That's pretty clear. The direction of this program is clear.
He is the PD now.
Clearly.
He does worry about the direction.
Clearly.
Oh, he has to fill out those TPS reports.
Maybe we
now.
Need to go in a new direction.
Oh, don't say that.
It's so tempting to make that Andy Dick joke. And I just don't...
What Andy Dick joke?
All I'm going to say is... Anytime Andy Dick goes on a licking spree, there's just, you know, the headline there just writes itself. A headline that I will not... You know what I'm talking about. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Do you think you could publish that?
No. Well, you could publish it. I'm not going to say it. I probably could. I mean, it is a factual representation of the incident, just like on South Park where Tom Cruise was actually literally in a closet.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things to call somebody.
Tom Cruise? Oh, no, don't say... Okay, we're getting off track. All I'm saying is... No, a cursory listen to this...
This is Dick Clark's fault.
Let's beat him. Let's beat Dick Clark until his body is lifeless. Let's bring me the battered, broken body of Dick Clark. No.
That is not funny. Any grown man who's weeping on the shoulder of another man at the Emmys, don't make fun of him. Life is hard enough.
I make fun because Dick Clark has had a good life. He's had...
But you heard the soundbite. We can't even get through it. It's so bad.
How old is he? Like 80?
No, 70-something.
Well...
76,
78. 76. I mean, that guy got famous at like 19. He's had a... You know, he's done pretty much everything you can do in this life. Mm-hmm. No, my point... I was going to say that even a cursory listen to this radio station indicates that I'm not really worried about the show's direction in that sense. No, my point was... My point was going to be that I sometimes am curious about whether this show is out of touch. And here's what I mean
with
by
what
that.
And whom?
That's, I'm trying to explain that. My point is that this is presumably a lifestyle and pop culture oriented program that we do here. A program that talks about what people are talking about, water cooler topics and so forth. Mm-hmm. And yet we come here on a Monday. And I mean, none of us watch the, not one of us. Sarah. Who is, I think you are in the target demographic for the Emmys because you're young enough to sort of watch a lot of primetime television and so forth. I mean, you don't, but you're kind of who they go for in a lot of ways. Tim is the news director. I am presumably the pop culture junkie. None of us watch the Emmys, not one of us. We didn't watch a goddamn second of it.
I was busy watching the Daniel Boone marathon.
What was I watching last night?
all weekend.
I was watching a Mystery Science Theater DVD last night. Sarah, what were you watching last night?
I don't even know.
See? Nobody's watching TV anymore.
That's what I'm saying. So
I watched reruns of I watched news radio.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's like I wonder, television? Like, are we out of touch? Is it us, or is it that no one really watches the Emmys anymore, and the news is sort of obligated to pretend
you
that
know,
they do?
You know, I read gossip columns every day, everything that's relevant to pop culture, and the Emmys were hardly talked about this morning.
I sometimes,
the only thing that was talked about was Jeremy Piven, because Entourage is, you know, a pretty big show. That's
I watched Entourage. That's the other thing I watched last night. I do wonder sometimes if we, that is to say specifically, the three of us here on the Rick Emerson Show, if we are out of touch. Based on what we watch and what we don't watch. I do wonder about that. I'm not going to say that.
Well, I think it was time spent wisely that we didn't waste our time with the program, because we're only talking about one moment during that entire telecast.
Really? It doesn't have to do with Dick Clark being glued to something. I don't really care.
It was not while the program was being broadcast. This happened during a commercial break that he wasn't wheeled away on live TV.
Do you suppose he's
they
just got
the commercial break?
Do you
they had to find a grip who could push it out without knocking him over.
Like when they left Stevie Wonder out. No. Do you remember that?
No.
They left him out on the stage with his piano.
Really?
And finally someone...
Everybody else had gone home?
Nobody he's wheeled him away.
Hello? Is there anybody there?
We just booked this for a wedding.
He was stuck in the middle of the stage just sitting there after he'd finished playing his song. Nobody came to get him.
Hello. Sitting right here. Hello! That's hilarious.
So what we're talking about is one incident that wasn't even telecast.
You're supposed to Dick Clark has little holes in his feet like the G.I. Joe characters, and they can just put him on pegs now wherever they need him to be.
Let's break.
It seems like that'd be easy. I haven't even talked about Farrah Fawcett.
All right. That's next hour.
See, I don't even really need to watch the Emmys. I can just make fun of the pictures in USA Today. I have become an idiot. I can just... It's like a picture menu at McDonald's. I don't need to watch the Emmys. I can just point and go, Dick Clark. Mm-hmm. Oh,
wheeled off stage.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, hey, somebody actually watched the Emmys. Fantastic. All right. Coming up around the corner as well, Gary Baumgarten. He's in Boulder, Colorado. We'll talk to him. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop later. Peter Carlin, Stormwatch. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Lost the registration, it's the body of the car. You carrying a weapon, all you know, a lot of you are. I ain't stepping out of shit. All my papers legit.